want to look at James chapter 4 this morning. If you don't have an outline book, would you just raise your hand? Anybody here that needs one? Are there some over? They're over on this side. We have a few people on this side. Welcome. So this is page 14 in your outline book, Friendship with the World. As we've been looking at the book of James, we're focusing on, obviously, the theme and what he's focusing on. And the title or theme of this book that we're looking at is Living Out Practical Faith. And what James is telling us is that if there is a living faith within us, it's going to be evident outside of us. The work of God is not solely an inward work. It begins there. But then there's a fruit that is supposed to be evident as we walk in faith and as we grow in faith. And it is a growing faith that ought to be producing growing fruit. And we need to examine ourselves and have the Holy Spirit examine us if that's the case in our lives. Am I evidencing growing faith? If you want to narrow it down to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there are more evidences of it, but it's a good place to start. And Paul says that when the Holy Spirit's abiding in us, there's going to be fruit that's born. And so we can look at those love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, meekness. These fruit, if we're honest with ourselves, or if we let God penetrate our hearts and examine us and expose those things, are we growing in that, or are we stagnant? Are we stuck in a place and we kind of look like we looked a year ago or 5 years ago? We've never gotten victory over anger. We've never gotten victory over our tongue. We never got victory, or we're still in the same place dealing with lust and all of these things that God is wanting to purge us and sanctify us, but we're still in the same place. And some would say we're never in the same place. We're either moving forward or we're moving backwards. But if I'm there, we really need to get serious with ourselves and with God and ask Him for that grace to cause faith to grow. We need to put ourselves in the place where faith can grow. We need to pursue the disciplines of our spiritual life where faith can grow. And so James is kind of exposing some of this for us, and he's being very practical, saying if you don't look this way, or if you do look this way, it's either evidence of your faith or not. And these are some very basic everyday behaviors that James is looking at that will either authenticate faith or highlights the absence of saving faith. James, in these chapters, sometimes he just gets very brutal and says, if this isn't evident in your life, or if you're still doing this, he challenges our faith. Do you really have an inward faith? And so we look in these verses, the first part of chapter 4, entitled Friendship with the World, from verse 4, which is the central verse in this chapter. And we're going to see, or try to see, what does that mean? What does it look like? And then how do we overcome this? So let's read these verses before we get into the discussion. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire, you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? I'd encourage you, not just here at camp, but at home in your churches and meetings that you attend where there's preaching and teaching, that you dig deeper than what's able to be expounded on in a few minutes during the week. Really, a lot of what ought to be happening in gatherings like this or at your church at home is that your spirit is stirred and prompted and provoked to go and dig more. It would take a very long time to get through these verses in depth, and there's way more than we can address in our meetings. Same thing in your church. If we would preach at length and as deeply as God wants us to understand his word, it would be a long sermon. Matter of fact, it just came to me. I don't know that I've ever had the courage to do this. We were at a conference a few years back, and I took one of the sessions in the book of Job, and that preacher there talked about another preacher. I believe it was over in maybe in Scotland, but that preacher preached for 28 years on the book of Job every week. So you can dig a little bit in scripture. I don't know. Either he lost a lot of people in his church over those years, or they were warriors. but for whatever reason, he did that, and he didn't run out of material, I suppose. But anyway, just to say that there's so much in scripture that as you read some of this, there are things here that I know we're not going to deal with, but are really something that as we read it, you kind of scratch your head and say, what is he saying there? Or what does that really mean? Or what does that mean to me? And then we just ignore it. And then you go home and it's forgotten. Don't let it be forgotten. Dig deep into God's word. And so some things that you'll see here, you'll need to investigate. Okay, but the first question we want to answer is, what is worldliness? Because James is talking about this. What is worldliness? Let me say this first. I think it would be obvious to us. The word that's used here, and of course what James is speaking here in this context, we know he's not talking about the physical, natural world, the realm of the material, right? So he's not just talking about planet Earth. He's talking about something different than that. He's talking about things that are spiritual. So he's talking about I'll stop. There's a question. What is worldliness? So I'll ask you, what is it? We've heard that expression, right? You've been in the church. You've heard the expression worldliness. What is it?
Being or doing everything that, you know, everyone else does, even though you know you shouldn't be doing it.
Okay. We see the lifestyle of others, and we imitate that, go along with that. Okay, let's... Selfishness. Let's narrow it down. What might that look like? Selfishness?
Living contrary to the word of God.
Contrary to the word of God. What would it look like? James is getting very practical, right? And he's saying, don't live like the world. So if your kid came up to you, your child, and said, what does that mean? How would you explain it to them or somebody from the outside? Martine?
Having a love of money.
Love of money. Okay, that certainly is one indicator. The way of the world. I'm sorry.
Boastful.
Yeah. Prideful.
Self-love.
Okay.
Contest. You try to defeat each other.
Okay.
To kill you. I mean, higher than you.
Right. Propping yourself up. Fighting. Impatience.
Anger.
What I'm hearing a lot are a lot of things that are inward, right? These are things that we're dealing with in our spirit. How are they reflected outwardly? I mean, are there things that we can identify and say, what I'm looking at right now is worldly? Arrogance.
Job promotions.
Okay, seeking promotion, seeking status. That.
Well, James talks about arguing, quarreling, fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, it's because you want something for yourself.
Right.
That's inward passion. So the outward would be something like that.
Okay. In this context, that's right. Exactly what James is going to deal with.
The pleasures of the world that are against the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Gossiping.
Gossip.
Loving things other than God. You're substituting mm-hmm. the love toward God
mm-hmm.
to just everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Lust.
Addictions. Idolatry, addictions. Mm-hmm.
Fear.
So this covers a broad spectrum, right? Some of it is like fear and selfishness is kind of an internal thing that we struggle with, and that can be observed outwardly as well. Other things that, you know, anger and quarreling and those things that James talks about that was happening here with his listeners. We don't like to talk about this, and... that might be evidence in the fact that we didn't talk about it here this morning in our response. Because we would classify some things as being very legalistic. And if we're starting to define things specifically, we make it sound like, well, you have to do these things in order to be saved or to please God, and you don't do these things in order to please and serve God. We don't get very nitpicky, at least not in public. And I think part of that's because our culture has been forcing that upon all of society, that if you dare say something that might offend somebody or that we don't agree with, we're going to shut you down and we're going to, you know. Well, God in his word and commands right from the beginning of time, but specifically through Moses and the law that he gave, very specifically, there are things that God said, you need to do this, and you need to act this way, and you need to look this way, and you need to be very different from the world. And that we call worldliness. We want people to look at you and say, why aren't you like us? And so from the beginning of Israel's existence, really, and the law that God gave them, it was to set them apart so that people would see them as strange. Much of our efforts today in the church and as Christians is trying not to look strange. We don't want the world to look at us and think we're so weird and different, because then they're not going to like us and they're not going to come to our church. And our sole motivation is to try to win people to our church rather than win people to God. And so we kind of water down this matter of holiness and being separate from the world. And I think we may get ourselves into some trouble. Now, I'm not going to preach legalism. I'm not going to preach the law. But it's interesting how God structured Israel to be very strange. So their worship was different. The way they related to one another was different. Their communities were to look different. Their dress was to look different. Their diets were to look different. And that's an interesting thing, right? The diet in the Old Testament. And God declared that some things are clean and some things are not clean. So some things you're allowed to eat and other things you're not. We've come up with all kinds of ideas as to why God did that. And today it's a debate with people who really don't want to love God and don't want to submit to God. And they bring these up as arguments. Well, if you're going to do away with, you're going to believe some of these things in the Bible, well, then why are you eating lobster and crab and things that God called unclean, pork? Why are you doing that? You're violating the law of God. Well, that law doesn't still stand specifically. But that does make us question, why in the Old Testament did God say, this is something you're not allowed to do? Some would say, well, it's dietary. They weren't clean animals and you can get disease and blah, blah. Well, why would God have to tell you to do that? All you needed was a bunch of people in town to get sick and die because they ate pork. And everybody would say, don't eat that anymore. Was everybody else in the world that dumb? I mean, it's an argument, right? And I think if you pursue that, there may be various reasons. But I think some of the reasons that God says don't eat this particular thing was just because he said, don't eat that thing. You're going to be different.
Pork is full of parasites.
Right. But is that the reason God said don't? Maybe some. But is it just that God is saying, I'm going to say, why did God say dress this way? Why did God say don't travel, on a Sabbath, you're to rest, and all of these other things? Everybody else was doing it. Some of it certainly was for a specific purpose. Design. We talked about a Sabbath rest, how God designed us for that need. But some of it, I think God was just saying, I want you to look different. And there's a lot of reason for that. One reason, it's to provoke people toward God. So to this day, if you go on an airplane, which I used to do a lot, and I remember oftentimes I'd be on a plane that had a lot of Orthodox Jews. And how did I know that? because they dressed a certain way. Their hair was a certain way. So right away they were identified as being different. And then back in the day when they used to give you food on a plane, they would come around with a meal and they would hand out, everybody got a meal, but this group of strange people. And they would come back after and bring them another meal that was kosher. And if you're not familiar with what was going on, you'd question, what's that about? Why do they dress different? Why do they eat different? Why do they pray different? Why is so much of their lifestyle different? And then you'd say, that's a very good question. Let me tell you why. And now there's this distinction between God's people and the world. Well, the New Testament hasn't done away with that. We're still called to be holy as God is holy. We're still called out to be separate and apart from the world. How does that look for a Christian? If that's the command that we have, how do we ignore that? Now, that doesn't mean we all have to wear a certain type of clothing or eat a particular specific way, but there should be some identifier that shows the world that we are living differently, that would provoke them to say, why? Now, they may not come out and ask you, but they're observing that. And so when James is telling us that our faith ought to make us look different than the world, we have to define what that looks like. And we have to get into some nitty-gritty things. And I don't know that I'm going to do that this morning. But I think we need to take into account the things that were already spoken, that we're talking about a different mindset and culture of the world that we see all around us. And we are inundated more than ever because we have access to it 24 hours a day through our computers and our phones, and we're just hooked up to everything out there that is infiltrating us. I remember back in the day, some of you my age at least and older, remember a lot of transition in the world, a lot of change in the world. And so some of you wouldn't believe how ancient we are from the 60s, 50s, even the 70s, back in the day when phones were on the wall connected with a wire, and you didn't take pictures with it, and you didn't watch TV with it. It was very different. Access to the world was different. If you wanted to know something, you waited till 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock and put the news on to see if the world was still there. If you went to in the morning, you wanted to know who won the ball game, you had to go to the store and buy a newspaper, and you check all the box scores, and this was your connection to the world. If you wanted to know what was happening in the neighborhood, you had to go out. You had to talk to people to see, you know, what's up, and you know, it just, if you wanted to go to church, you had to go to church. But today we don't have to do any. We have access not just to like basic things in life, but we have access to things that we shouldn't even know. Sure. Things that so consume us and distract us and weigh us down. I don't know, but a lot of people are making connections. I know I'm going way off, and we're not going to get near this chapter the way we want to, but we'll make it up. There's studies that are coming out now regarding our access to internet and the world and social media is showing us that it's really devastating us as people. It's breaking our spirit. I have to think that there's a correlation between the depression and suicide rates, the warring, bullying, breakdown in community, all of these things that all of a sudden are on this incredible rise. How did it just happen to be kind of when all of this other broke out? And as good as it is, it's that bad. And so I remember in the day, that's where I started, right? When television had been out, but it wasn't everybody had a television in their home. Very few did. Yeah. And so as a child, I didn't have a TV in our home. Partly because we couldn't afford one. And then as time went on, and it was becoming more popular, it was preached against. And the godly people didn't put TVs in their home. Why? Because we were bringing the world right into our living room. And if you look back and see where we've come, you know, back then, putting the world in our home was like John Wayne cowboy movie or I Love Lucy, Father Knows Best, you know, and we look at that and say, oh, how wholesome that is. But back then we said, we're going to be influenced by the world. Of course, there were other things that were at issue. But now we've just opened the floodgate. There are no limits. There are no restraints. In our homes, HBO and everything else, and you don't even have to go HBO anymore, right? It's just mainstream. And we just let the world continually bombard us. Every notification, every social media, then come up the news clips, then come up the pop stars, and all day long we're being squeezed into the mindset of this world. Parents, you know what your kids are doing on their phones? You know that they're doing it all night long, and they've got it tucked under their pillows, and every beep that their friends have, and every issue, and every story, and every... It's just being fed to them, and fed to them, and fed to them. And worldliness has taken over the church. And so when we even talk about this or talk about holiness, pastors have to tiptoe around it because we don't want to offend somebody and they won't come back to church and we can't build our empire. And so let's be very careful how we present the gospel. And so the world keeps creeping into our lives and into our families and into our churches, and we're not even aware. Side note, as I read and study more and more of Old Testament scripture and how God was dealing with his people and how the people were relating to God, it is scary, really, how much the church is just like Old Testament Israel, how we've compromised and how we've lowered our standards, how we've accepted the ways of the world and the culture of the world and the idols of the world, and we don't even know that we have drifted from God and we soon will stand under his judgment. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying, God, we need a prophetic voice in our land. We need those men and women who will stand up with the word of God, that will proclaim it without hesitation, so that the people of God, the remnant, I don't know, most people will probably respond and do respond like they did with the prophets of the Old Testament. And we'll put them to death, and we'll send them to exile, and we'll persecute and make their lives miserable. Don't you dare come to us with the word of God. We're content where we are. That's what we're hearing. That's what we're seeing around us. And God is calling us to a place of holiness that rejects worldliness. That's James's deal in this chapter. Let me read. This is John MacArthur in regards to what worldliness is. It refers to the man-centered, Satan-directed system of this present age, which is hostile to God and God's people. It refers to the self-centered, godless value system and moral contamination of fallen mankind. The goal of the world, self-glory, self-fulfillment, self-indulgence, self-satisfaction, and every other form of self-serving, all of which amounts to hostility toward God. While the world's philosophies and ideologies and much that it offers may appear attractive and appealing, that is deception. Its true and pervasive nature is evil, harmful, ruinous, and satanic. God, not the world, must have the first place in the Christian's life. And so we can get very specific as to what worldliness looks like. We could hear it in people's speech. We could see it in their dress. We could see what they entertain themselves with, what kind of movies, what kind of music. We can see what kind of circles that they run with, what associations they make. All of these things are evident of whether a person really has a growing living faith in them that's being lived out very practically. Maybe we can get through the first couple of verses. We're not going to get very far. It was already mentioned what causes quarrels and fights among you. What's with the conflict and the broken relationships? James is trying to get their attention. What is going on? Some of this, we would see, is directed toward outside the church, but most of this is directed toward Christian. And we see it. We see it, and Paul deals with it in the Corinthian church and others. Those that are warring, those that are in conflict. And it's not supposed to be. And so James is trying to get to the end. What is happening here? Why are you doing this? And if you ever talk to your kids, if you have them, and there's a war going on, maybe you've got the kids' friends over and there's a war going on, and you call them out, say, what's going on? What's the response you're going to get from both parties? Yeah. It's their fault. No, it's their fault. No, it's their fault. Well, they did that. No, they started it, but then they did. Then they hit, but they hit me back. And that's pretty much what we do when it comes to that, isn't it? When we have conflict. Are you ever wrong? Be honest. The reason we have conflict, the reason we're at odds with people, is because they did me wrong. And if somebody is ever on the other side that says, I did them wrong, well, we have justification for that and reasoning for that and say, you misunderstood and that's not what it was. And no, you reacted and whatever it is, but I am never wrong. And James wants to get deeper into that. And he talks about, no, it is your passions, your desires, the warring that's going on inside of you that's a problem. And if both sides of the quarrel would take that approach, that maybe we're both wrong, and maybe it's because of my internal that I'm right, and I'm going to stand this ground, and I'm not going to apologize, and I'm not going to forgive, that it has nothing to do with my self-centeredness, my passion for worldly pleasures, my inward source of conflict. Paul talks about that a lot, doesn't he? The inward that's just warring, right and wrong, righteous and sinful. And that's within all of us. And we've got to come to terms with that and say, okay, maybe it's me. Maybe it's my attitude. We heard about that this morning. The attitude of the heart, the spirit of a person. Maybe I'm the one that's got an issue. He says, you desire, verse 2, and you don't have, and so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. Goes back to what Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. When he says, you know, the murder begins with hatred in the heart and bitterness in the heart. The adultery starts with the lust in the heart. All of these things are inward that manifest themselves outwardly. And this is where James is going to take us. You know, our willingness to fight to the death, the willingness to hate. I put in your notes a quote. This whole problem grows out of our selfish ambitions and envy. The process begins when a Christian gives in to the desire for comfort or pleasure. That desire will not be satisfied. The individual may experience some temporary comfort or pleasure, but either the desire will increase until it cannot be satisfied, or the source of satisfaction will disappear. That's why you want something, but you don't get it. When our desires aren't fulfilled, we become frustrated and begin to find someone or some way to find satisfaction. That's when we start to quarrel and fight, because nothing and no one can satisfy these desires. So this goes deeper than just what we read on the surface, doesn't it? It goes to the depths of our heart, the root of the problem. I think there's blank in your note. No, but you can write it down. The root of the problem is we entertain wrong desires, and then we seek to fulfill those wrong desires with wrong sources. Jeremiah, when God talks about his people and judges them because you've rejected the springs of living water and you've built for yourself cisterns that are full of stagnant, bacteria-filled, nasty, slimy waters. You're trying to find satisfaction drinking from the wells that you've built and the cisterns that you've built. And I've given you something much more satisfying. That's the nature of our heart. Our sinful heart is to seek out wrong desires in the wrong places. And so James is trying to help us to see that. Let's just finish this thought. You have not because you ask not. When you do ask, you ask amiss. And what was the asking amiss that James tells us? How do we know we're asking amiss? For ourselves, he says, when you do ask, you're asking for yourselves. You're heaping upon yourselves for your own desire. It's never about God and his will and his purpose. It's never about others first. It's always heaping upon me. This is the pull of my heart. Jesus gives us a model prayer, Matthew chapter 6. We might call it the Lord's Prayer. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know that prayer. But as we read that and as we pray that, it's not by accident that Jesus set it up this way. The first thing that we pursue is God and his kingdom. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it's give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We forgive others. And it leads into more of this. But the first is a focus on God's concerns before our own concerns. And then if we are following after God, we've heard a few times already in the past few days, we're to love God above all. And then Jesus says we're to love others as we love ourselves. If we're living in that realm of the kingdom, that command of the kingdom, then the quarreling and the divisions and the seeking after things from people and using people and using God to satisfy my lusts, those things fall away and we start walking in a different pattern and we start relating to others, like James is saying here. This has to stop. And that's the way that it stops. And we have to stop. So we'll pick up sometime later, verse 4, where we want to get to is friendship with the world. And what is that really talking about? And how do we make sure that's not me? But there's a lot here for us to digest as we read through James. And a lot for God to work in us for our good and for his pleasure. Amen. Maybe we should sing that song, Trust and Obey. That's a good one. Hymn number 390. You can stand as we sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on the way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and the Father will trust and obey. Trust and
today, that we might walk in obedience to You. God, would You show us, Lord, the things that are displeasing, the things of this world that You're looking to root out of us. Lord, that we would be yielded to You. God, that we would surrender our own will, our own agenda, our own sense of being right and really being unteachable. But God, by Your Spirit, I pray, You would examine our hearts, Lord, and with Your gracious, merciful, patient love, Lord, would You change our hearts? We thank You that You are good to do that. So we commit our ways to You, Lord, today. We pray Your blessing upon each one as we go about this day for Your name's sake. Amen. Amen.